Archdiocese of New Zealand
of the Ecumenical Patriarchate presents
In the Narthex
with Father Paul Patitsis.
Join him as he shares with us the ancient apostolic faith of the Christian Greek Orthodox Church.
And now your host, Father Paul.
Good afternoon, and welcome to In the Narthex. This is a ministry of the Greek Orthodox Archdiocese of New Zealand, and this is Presbytera Katerina on air today for Father Paul, who can't be with us because he is in Tonga. Now, Father Paul does mission work, and you may know that mission work can be hard for many reasons, but mostly it is because of the unpredictability of things. You go to a new country or region, and you can't be sure you're wanted, for starters. Being wanted is a major factor for us. We only go where we are wanted. For those who may not know, the emphasis of mission work for the Orthodox is both caring for the poor and an introduction to the divine liturgy to people who never had it before. Orthodox worship, that's what the divine liturgy is, and it's an ancient form of worship that connects us to the historical first century church and the cultures and spirituality of worshiping one God in three persons, as revealed to the world through Christ. It connects us to our holistic need for worship, incorporating ancient elements with the teachings and words of Jesus. I once attended a sermon where the priest said that there were 90 direct quotes from Holy Scripture in the Divine Liturgy. Can you imagine going through and counting that? I really never have. But I trusted him. What we strive for as missionaries is a genuine experience, though. Not the education of people, but also to give people the chance to discover a historical account of the church that they may not have known, that they may want to be a part of, and to understand they are welcome to be part of our communion, no matter what their race or ethnicity. The word Greek and our title is not a national declaration, but historical reference, and the indicator of the original language of the New Testament Holy Scriptures. The Greek Orthodox Church is registered in Tonga and Fiji and Samoa. Fiji has three active churches with indigenous priests, and Tonga has a fledgling parish with two churches on one very little property.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill among men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory.
Doxology, and it's praising God and discussing, in a sense, the relationship that we have with God He's our refuge. We ask him to teach us his statutes. It's a beautiful opener, and this is how we begin our Divine Liturgy, since we were talking about the Divine Liturgy. This is exactly how we begin the Divine Liturgy. Before it even starts, we sing this hymn. And it's sung right now by the nuns of the St. Paisios Monastery in Safford, Arizona. So Father Paul's been talking about things that Jesus said that are difficult to hear. Perhaps they are things that seem to us counterintuitive for our times. But it seems that perhaps they have always been. These things, he says, don't mesh with life in the world as we have constructed it. But they seem to bring relief to people's hearts. I am reserving the more difficult themes for Father Paul to address you, but I would like to attempt to talk a little bit about what he said about where we direct our love. Now, in the Western world, we think of love and devotion as something that is out of control in our own selves. Love more so than devotion. We fall in love. We talk about love as if it overcomes us. But one of the things that Jesus said for us to do is to put God first, and we are to put first him in our lives more than the love of someone else. Now, I can understand how someone who's not Christian can have some trouble with that concept, let alone doing it. I mean, we're talking about loving someone that we've never seen, that we've never heard. And sometimes we find it difficult to love somebody that we do know. But if we sit with the gospel passage slowly and read through it, we can see that Christ himself helps us along with this directive and doesn't leave us in the dark to work it out totally alone. It's not just a directive, and then it's like, I'll go figure out how to do it. We see that he does it in a very loving way for our benefit. And Jesus does it in two ways in the gospel according to Matthew chapter 6. His part of the gospel is about his most famous sermon, which is referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. On that particular day, thousands of people had followed him. Last Sunday, we heard the gospel reading, which references events just before Jesus gave that sermon. Now, Jesus called two sets of brothers to follow him. One set is Peter and Andrew, and the other James and John. And Father Paul talked about them last week. And he just said to them, follow me, and they did, to put it in a nutshell. If that wasn't hard enough to do, just drop everything because there is something so irresistibly good about this man who called them. But they then followed him to a sermon that just turned their understanding of their faith and religion in a direction they never thought before. How did they continue to follow him? Well, we'll have a little song first, and then after the song, we'll talk about that.
What's on the outside that makes a man what he is? It's that hidden man of the heart that knows just who he is. 'Cause you might hide some things inside that people just can't see, but that hidden man of the heart knows where you stand. The heart is a place and no one else can go. Oh, but me and God alone. So I'll make it a place where God would want to be. And let that hidden man of the heart, let that hidden that say they know the Lord, they'll quote his scriptures word for word. But that hidden man of the heart knows where they stand with the Lord. Because the heart is a place and no one else can go.
It's a really beautiful concept, and it's very orthodox, and it comes to us most often through a book called the Philokalia, which is another kind of scripture. It's, it's technically writing, so we call it scripture, but it's about the spiritual life and a lot about the activity of the heart and how we find God there. And I think Father Paul talked about last week how the kingdom of God is within you. And that was one of the difficult sayings of Jesus that takes a little bit of extra thought. So we were talking about Peter and Andrew and James and John as they began to follow Christ in a very serious way. Others began to follow as well, and it is taught that this intersection of time and place was prophesied in the book of Isaiah. The territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, toward the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, a light has dawned. Now, this is referring to the light is referring to the wisdom that we are going to hear from Christ's word during the sermon. And here is part of that really long sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If, therefore, your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If, therefore, the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, and your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things.
Take my hand, I there's some things we can't live without. Man so prone to doubt, faithful are the wounds of friends. So give it just a little time, share some bread and wine, weave your heart into mine, my friend. Souls hang around, don't be shy, there's nothing left to hide, come on, let's talk away, of the places we left behind, no longer yours or mine. We could build a good thing here too. So give it just a little time. Share some bread and wine. Weave your heart into mine. And if I fall, I fall alone.
Josh Garrels singing here. I don't usually take the songs to the end, and this is just about at the end, but I really wanted to hear him say my friend there. So, he's one of our favorites here at in the Narthex. And what we have now just heard, part of the Sermon of the on the Mount, let's go through that last line again. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I like the way that part of the sermon ends. It's a very long sermon, and it does have its parts, and it goes for about three chapters, and every verse stands well on its own, but together they make an amazing framework for us to live and grow. Jesus said that no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and ignore the other. You cannot serve God and money. So here Christ is equating love with service that we are willing to give to another, with the energy that is put into another person or thing. And he says not that they and themselves are mutually exclusive as objects, but that our emotions of love and hate and that our dedication will be the thing that divides them. And he continues to tell us something that is, again, one of these counterintuitive things. Because you would expect him to say that we should hate the one so that we can love the other. But he does something unusual. Instead, he lets us know that what is the root of the problem? And the root of the problem is anxiety. He's letting us know that we have a tendency to be devoted to the wrong things because we're anxious for what we will eat and what we will wear. And he wants us to live simply and peacefully and to trust that he will provide. So he directs us to look at the living things in nature and to see how God provides for them and reassures us of his love. That if God loves these little things of his creation that much, doesn't he love us more? In his sermon, he calls God our Heavenly Father, who provides all things for our benefit with love and with understanding of what we truly need. And then he follows up with something again, other than the expected thought. And again, he's not saying you should hate the other one so that you can love God, but he's saying if we first seek the kingdom of God, he will add to us everything else that we need in this world. See, money can't bring us to God, and neither can be devoted to the wrong person or the wrong thing or bring us to God. But God can bring us anything and everything that is necessary in life.
The hardest part of love, it's not the things I have to give, no, it's what I give up. I'm giving up ground and I'm trading in my solitude for shade.
Also a fan of Audrey Assad here. And if we have any regular listeners here, I want to say that yes, I would like to add some new artists to our collection of songs. It's just that we have hundreds of them, and that certain artists that we feel like the way they sound, their theology is very sound, we like to keep them going and help to enhance the things that we're saying here. So that was Audrey Assad. So we were talking about how you can't serve God and money. Well, who thinks that they really love money? I mean, I would say nobody would. But we look how much time and energy we spend thinking about it, thinking about what we could buy if only, perhaps more so when we were young, perhaps when we could see ourselves as earners. When did our perspective change so that we are serving money and not the purposes of love? At the heart of our relationship with money, many times we show lack of faith. And we have worked hard to earn. Maybe when we have, it's hard to give, thinking that we might not be able to re-earn what we have. If we see that someone else earns less than us, we may be tempted to think of ourselves as better. If we earn less than someone else, we might think of ourselves as less than them, not just better off. So how do we understand the difference between being good stewards of material things without being materialistic? And Saint Nikolai Velimirovich teaches us that it is in our intentions and our actions that we are bound by the world and not elevated to the spiritual realm. In this thing that I'm going to read to you from St. Nikolai Velimirovich, he's quoting Jesus. He is referencing a similar quote that Jesus said, you can't serve God in money, but in the Gospel of St. Luke, in a very different circumstance. And so I'll read to you what St. Nikolai says. Thus speaks the householder. That's with a capital H. The householder. Thus speaks the householder of both worlds, the material and the spiritual. He speaks of material riches as the least, and the spiritual riches as much. He to whom material wealth is given and shows itself to be selfish, hard, proud, merciless, and godless, to him spiritual wealth cannot be given. For if he is faithless in small things, right, the material things, then he will be faithless in great. If he is faithless in material things, he will be faithless in the spiritual things. Thank you for listening to our program today. As always, we close by reminding you that this program is a ministry of love from the Greek Orthodox Archdiocese of New Zealand, which is headquartered in Wellington, and who will be arch-shepherd by His Eminence Archbishop Miron, who will be our new archbishop. You're used to hearing Hamphilochios. And it is an offering of love to you, our dear listeners. We offer this program every Friday at 3:15 here on Planet FM, and you can also listen to us again online at www.planetaudio.org.nz/in the narthex.